Well, if you're happy to be in church this morning, say amen. Well, you didn't convince me. Amen. Better be at church than in jail. Or at Walmart. Amen. I don't know which one's worse. Amen. Heard a guy said told his wife, he says, whenever I die, bury me at Walmart. He said, at least I know you come see me every once in a while. Amen. Amen. I'm married to one of those kind of ladies. But it is good to be here in church today, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach this morning. I appreciate your pastor, and I've enjoyed getting to know him over the past several years, and just a blessing to see what God's done here at the church, and good to look out there and see people that are faithful, and what a blessing the foyer of your church is. That is nice. Last time I was here, y'all were getting ready to do all of that. But that is just really, really nice. I know y'all are thrilled about that. And I'm just glad to see what God is doing here at your church and with your preacher. And I know you are as well. Amen. Good to belong in a good church, isn't it? So I hope I can be a blessing to you. Revival is a needed thing in every church. It is a needed thing. Now listen, folks, I know we have all kind of priorities. But let's make revival the priority this week, okay? And let's do what we can to be in the service. Let's do what we can to get people and invite them and to do our part. You get out of a revival what you put into one. And somebody asked Billy Sunday one time, he says, what's such the big deal about revival? Why do we need revival so much? Revival doesn't always last. He says, well, neither does a bath, but you still need one. Amen. And that's what revival is. Revival is where we get cleaned up. Revival can change the spirit of an entire church. And that's what we need. We need God to give us revival. Most of the time when we're backslidden, we don't even realize that we are, Brother Lance. And it's not until we sit in service one day and the Holy Spirit reminds us of just how far away we've gotten. And we think, my soul, I'm in worse shape than I thought I was. Amen. That's when we need revival in our heart. And so I hope that it will be a blessing to you this week. And I hope I can be a help to you. I spent all of last week, I've been in Austin, Texas. I went down there to preach a youth camp. And, of course, we live at a Christian camp. And so we've been doing camp for probably since the first week of June. And we ended the first part of August. So this last week of camp was probably about the 12th or 13th week of camp I've done this summer. So, man, I'm about camped out. Amen. But I flew back home on Friday. Then I drove here yesterday, I'm just excited about the meeting this week. Amen. I usually don't travel this much anymore. I pastor a church now, so I'm not away too often, but I'm glad to have the opportunity to come and be here today. Okay, let's get our Bibles, the book of Jude. The book of Jude, and let's stand in honor of God's Word this morning. Jude, in verse number 21, Jude, verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22 is my text verse. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And of some have compassion, making a difference. You can turn over, if you will, to one more passage of Scripture in Mark chapter number 8. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Friend, if there's anything that we need to be effective as Christians, is we need compassion. We need love for people. Amen? And the reason why we don't go soul winning is because we don't love people. Amen? The reason why we're all the time so quick to pick out people's faults and criticize them is because we don't love people. Amen? Whether you're all the time trying to put somebody down, it's because you don't have the love of God in your heart. The Bible says love is of God. And the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Amen? You know why? You don't want everybody to know every little flaw about your wife or your husband is because you love them and you don't want everybody to know everything about them. Amen? But it's amazing. We'll come to church and we'll point out everybody else's flaws. You know why we do that? Because we lack love. We need God to change our attitude towards people. We need to have God change the way that we think and ask God to give us compassion, a love for people that will change everything. That's what I want to preach about this morning. As we pray, and we'll read this next passage of Scripture here in just a moment, but as we pray, I want you to ask God, God, change the way that I see people. Change the way that I see people. Give me a change of heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless the message this morning. Use it for Your honor and glory. Lord, I don't know these people the way this pastor knows these people. But Lord, I know that many of them have needs and burdens and some of them going through heartaches. And Lord, we'd probably be amazed. Lord, we could probably sit here in tears today, Lord, to hear some of the problems that are going on in some people's lives sitting in this room this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd give them comfort. Lord, I pray that You'd be with those that may be in our service today that have never been saved. Lord, I pray they'd realize today that You love them and, Lord, that You'll save them. Bless, I pray, our service in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 8, you can be seated. Thank you. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 22. Let's look at this story here in the Bible. It says, "And He cometh," this is Jesus, "to Bethsaida, and they bring Him a blind man unto Him that besought Him to touch Him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town, and when he had spat on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught." Now notice this. He touched this man's eyes. And verse 23, the Bible said, "He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking." Okay? You can be seated. Thank you. "I see men as trees walking." Verse number 25. "After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up." And look at this. "And he was restored and saw every man clearly." So get the picture, friend. Jesus heals this blind man. And the first time this man looks out and sees, what does he see? He sees men, but he sees them as trees walking. And God touches his eyes again. And when he touches him again, now he sees more clearly. And now he sees them as people. Now he sees them who they really are. Listen, friend, you know what we do many times in the Christian life? We're just like this man. And when we see people walking around us like men as trees walking. But whenever God opens up your eyes, you don't see them just as trees. You don't see them just as things walking around. You see them as people that have a never-dying soul that you can reach, that you can influence, that you can tell Jesus about. And maybe this morning we need to say, God, help me open up my eyes where I don't just see people walking around. I don't just see masses. I don't just see crowds. But I see people that need God and that need help. Amen. We have to have our eyes opened up. You know why we are so quick to pass judgment on people? I'm talking about people that we don't even know. It's because we lack love in our heart. Amen. Brother, listen, somebody comes to church and, brother, we are quick to point out their flaws. Can I tell you, friend, you don't know what that person is feeling. You don't know what that person has been through. You don't know what that person's needs are. You say, yeah, I do. I've known them all my life. No, you don't. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they've been through. Brother, listen, there are people that I've known. There are family that I have known. That, brother, time has passed and all of a sudden things are revealed. And it is a shock to find out what has been going on in their life. Now, just because somebody doesn't stand up in church and complain about all the problems doesn't mean they don't have problems. Everybody has things that they go through, and we need to be a little bit more compassionate towards what people are going through. Amen? Brother, listen, we got to have a change of heart. A change of heart. Brother, we all the time go around like we're experts on how to fix everybody's problems. You know how you can help fix people's problems? Start by loving them. Amen? And we see teenagers walk around and we think, well, they're rebellious, so man, I'm going to set them straight and I'm going to tell them what's what. You know what? You're going to get absolutely nowhere with a teenager if they don't think you love them. That's right. Amen? You're not going to get anywhere trying to help a new convert along if they don't think that you love them. Brother, listen, there have been people that I've knocked on their doors, and the first time that I have witnessed to them, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. But after I've gone back, and after I've helped them, and after I've bought them groceries, and after I've helped them with a bill every now and then, or after I've helped them whenever they had family problems, or after I've been with them at the hospital, guess what? They want to listen then. Why? Because love makes a difference when you try to reach people. We live in such a selfish society. It's all about us, all about what we want. Can I tell you something, friend? Your church is not a social club. It's not a place where you come just to be a part of the club. But your church is rather an emergency room. It is a hospital where people come and get help. And brother, listen, you're part of that. And you're part of that help that people need, that fellowship that people need. Brother, we need God to change our perspective. People have asked me, Brother Randy, what's one of the biggest changes that you have experienced since you've been a pastor? And listen, there's been a lot of changes, believe me. There's been a lot of changes. Pastoring is a whole different ball of wax, Brother Lance, than evangelism. But you know what I tell people when they ask me that question? I tell them the thing that's changed the most is my heart. My heart. Brother, listen, because you find out the needs of people, you find out the burdens of people, and it changes your attitude, it changes your heart. How do you see people, friend? You see them as men as trees walking? Brother, we need to say, God, restore my vision so I can see things more clearly. Give me compassion. Give me a burden. The Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Let me give you a few points this morning. We'll go eat. Amen. Brother, it wouldn't be a Baptist meeting if we didn't eat. Amen. Hopefully we've got some fried chicken out there. If there ain't fried chicken out there, he's a compromising Baptist preacher. Amen. Baptists have to have fried chicken if they have dinner on the grounds. Amen. Now watch there not be fried chicken. I'm going to be in trouble tonight. Amen. Cause all kind of church trouble. Amen. Let me say number one about compassion. Compassion turns bitterness into love. Compassion turns bitterness into love. Turn to see what the Bible says in Ezekiel. Brother, this right here, this verse will change your life. Ezekiel chapter number 3, and look with me if you will please in verse number 14. Ezekiel chapter number 3 and verse number 14. The Bible said, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. Notice that. I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. So in other words, Ezekiel said, I did what God told me to do, but I was bitter about it. I was angry about it. I didn't want to go to these people that I was mad at. But verse number 15, it says, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib and dwelt by the river of Shabar. Look at this next statement, brother. This is powerful. And it says, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. You know what changed Ezekiel's bitterness? You know what changed? When he sat where they sat. When he got there and found out what was really going on, it changed that bitterness around. And brother, you may find out that person at church that you're angry about, that person at church that you're mad at, brother, won't you go sit where they sit every once in a while? Won't you carry the burden every once in a while and find out what's going on in their life? And brother, that will change your perspective. Amen? You say, Brother Randy, I'm disappointed in some things the preacher's done, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. Won't you follow him around a little bit, amen? Won't you find out the heart this man of God has for people? Why don't you see the time that he invests in the people? Why don't you see the prayer? Why don't you see the investment his family has made, friend? When you sit where people sit, it makes a difference. Amen? You know what I tell my Sunday school teachers at my church? I said, if you want to have a heart for your class, go visit your class every week. You know why? Because when you sit where they sit, brother, it'll change your heart. You go to those poor little kids' house, some of them, and see that broken home. I could take you to some kids' house, brother, it would break your heart. And sometimes the only time they ever hear an I love you is at church. Sometimes the only time anybody gives them anything other than a lashing is at church. And I say, if you want God to break your heart for those little kids that you're teaching, if you want a burden for them, junior church director, if you want a burden for them, hey, go visit them. Listen, Christians, you want to get close and reach a new convert that's in church? You want to get them grounded in church? Go spend some time with them at their house. Find out what's going on in their life. Brother, you think you've got problems? You want to get rid of those problems? Go get involved in somebody else's life. Amen? Why don't you go make some hospital visits? Find out what's going on in people's life. Go sit where they sit and see if God does not change your heart. You want to know why we got so much problems in our churches? It's because we don't do nothing but sit around and look at everything that's going on, analyze everybody's life. Brother, you get out and start reaching some people for Jesus Christ, and He will change that heart of yours. He'll change it. He'll change it. Brother, compassion can turn bitterness into love. Somebody said this, to know all, and you will pardon all. Know all, and you will pardon all. Amen. That person you're mad at, when you find out what's really going on in their life, brother, you'll be a lot more forgiving. Amen. You start to understand a little bit better why they are the way that they are. Go sit where they sit. I was reading about a man. He was in a subway. And he had been busy all day. And when he got on that subway, he said everybody else, you could tell, had a long day at work too. And so they were all trying to relax as much as they could. Some of them were sitting there reading newspapers. Others were just kind of lost in thought. And everybody's kind of quiet in the car. And all of a sudden, a man and his three children enter that subway. And they get on that subway car. And he said this man's children were absolutely out of control. They were jumping everywhere. They were hanging off of everything. They were driving everybody crazy. But nobody wanted to say anything about it. And he said, so finally, after these kids just kept on and kept on and kept on. And he said, and his father just seemed to be so oblivious of it. You ever been in a situation like that? And he said, and his father just seemed so oblivious, like he didn't even see what was going on with his kids. And he said, finally, I turned to him and I said, sir, don't you see how much your kids are disturbing everybody? And the man kind of looked at him as if to regain his attention. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, we're just coming back from the hospital. He said, my wife died an hour ago. And he said, and I'm not sure how to take it. And he said, I guess the kids don't really know how to handle it either. Brother, you talk about your paradigm shifting. He said, all of a sudden, the man that I was frustrated with, now I felt compassion for him. Now I felt sorry for him. And instead of being judgmental, now I find myself asking him, well, sir, is there anything I can do? Sir, how did she die? What happened? Change your heart. Change your heart. Amen. Brother, listen, compassion can turn bitterness into love. Notice that when Ezekiel got there, the Bible said that he was bitter and angry. Bitter and angry. Went there in the heat of his temper, his anger, and he was not very excited about having to go where he was told to go. And friends, sometimes we get that way. We get in a place in our life where things happen and we're not very happy about it. Man, something changes. We lose a job. Man, we get sick. Something happens in our life that upsets our world and we get bitter and angry about it. And we say, God, I don't understand this. God, I don't want this. I never asked for this. What is going on in my life? Well, can I tell you that maybe God is just trying to open up your eyes? Maybe God's just trying to get you to sit where some other people sit. So that you can reach people, so that you can be a blessing to people. You think you're the only one without a job right now? You don't know how many people you're going to meet out soul winning that don't have jobs that maybe you can help? Amen? You think you're the only one that has ever had health problems? Brother, I guarantee you, listen, there are people in church today that are suffering from all kind of health problems. But you know what? Sometimes God puts us in a place in our life where we can see a little bit more clearly. I've had Crohn's disease for about the past 7 or 8 years. Brother, I've suffered a lot with it. But I thank God for what He has done by giving me that. You know why? Because it has opened up my eyes. This year that I've been pastor, I've spent probably as much time in the hospital as I have spent in the pulpit. Now, it's hard to pastor a church when you can't be in the pulpit. But you know what God has done during that time? God has changed my heart. God has opened up my eyes about people. Brother, listen, I went through some surgery back in December, and brother, thank God that surgery has changed my life in a great way and for the better. I praise God for that. But you know what? It has given me a better understanding of what people have to go through. It opens up your eyes. And brother, it doesn't hurt us every once in a while to go through a trial so God can sit us down and change the way we perceive things and look at people. Amen. There was a little girl. She had been out playing and her mother finally found her. She wasn't home on time. And when she got home, her mother asked her where she had been. And he told her that she was down the road at a neighbor up the street's house. an older man, and that little girl told her mom that that man's wife had died in the past few days and that she was over at his house. And she said, "Well, what were you doing over at his house?" And she said, "Well, I was helping him." And she says, "What could you possibly do to help a man that's grieving over his wife?" She says, "I don't know." She said, "I just helped him cry." Well, listen, sometimes that's all you need to do for people. Amen. You know what I found out, brother, when people are hurting, they don't need me to come give them advice. So you know what I do? I just go weep with them. I just go sit with them. I go pray with them. Brother, listen, we had a man in our church die recently, a good friend. Brother, I don't know what to do. Listen, I don't have all the answers for everybody's hurting heart, but I can be there when somebody's hurting. And I can help them, and I can try to support them in any way that I can. Friend, sometimes that's what we have to do. Sometimes, brother, all we can do is pray. Sometimes all that we can do is just be there. But it makes a difference. It makes a difference. It takes compassion. How does compassion make a difference in our life? Not only does it turn bitterness into love, but compassion can turn hurt into forgiveness. Hurt into forgiveness. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 20. I'm going to go ahead and read when I get there. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 20. This is talking about the prodigal son. Brother, he had hurt a lot of people. And listen, his dad had every right to be mad at that boy. When he came back home, his dad had every right to say, "Son, you just turn right back around and walk out that driveway the same way you walked in." He had every right to do that. But the Bible says when he saw his son, that the Bible says that he had compassion on him. Amen? Had compassion. What does compassion do? It turns hurt into forgiveness. You know why the older brother wouldn't forgive his younger brother? Because he didn't have any love. He didn't have any compassion. He said, I'm not going in. I'm not even going to go in the house where he's at. I'm not going in that party. I'm not going in. He made his dad come out and talk to him. He couldn't even call him his brother. He said, "Soon as this thy son was come home." Amen. What was wrong with him? He lacked love. He lacked compassion. And the reason why people don't want to forgive is because they don't have any love of God in their heart. Now, brother, listen, sometimes, even as hard as it is, you're going to have to forgive people. You know why? Because we're all people. And we're going to hurt one another from time to time. I guarantee you, hang around me long enough, I'm going to say something's going to rub you the wrong way. Not that I mean to, but listen, I'm just human nature. So are you. I'm going to do something that offends you. Everybody's going to do something that offends you. Brother, the Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron. That's what we do, brother. We knock each other's rough edges off. We're going to get on each other's nerves, but you've got to learn to forgive. And why do we forgive? Because we love people. Because we love them. Let me tell you a story about a man. He was starting a rescue mission in New Jersey. And there was a guy that was very famous in that little town. They called him Big Mart. And Big Mart was a bully. Big Mart was a thug. And they were having a hard time getting this rescue mission started. They didn't know why, but they weren't used to that. They weren't used to those type of hard-living people. And they didn't know how to reach them. They didn't know how to connect with them. And he kept praying, "God, show me some way where I can reach these people." And he tried and tried and tried to break through to Big Mart. Big Mart was probably the ringleader for every bit of trouble that happened in that block. And finally, one day, this man had a secretary named Ella. And he said one day he was inside the mission and he heard outside that there was an argument and a fight going on between Big Mart and his secretary Ella. And Big Mart was calling her every kind of vile name and curse word you could think of. And about that time, Ella comes walking in the door. Man, she's just weeping and sobbing. And she's saying, "Preacher, you got to do something." He says, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she looked at him shocked, like, "What do you mean?" "I want you to go throw him out. I want you to go tell him get out of here for the way he treated me." And he said, "Ella, let me tell you something." He said, "I've been trying to get Big Mart here for 6 weeks. And you want me to go throw him out?" He said, "Listen to me for just a minute." He said, "Let me tell you about Big Mart. When Big Mart was a little boy, his dad was very abusive.
And one night, his dad came home drunk and made the mother and all the children come inside the living room, and he locked that family inside its house, and that father murdered their mother in front of him. Made Big Mark watch it. Not only that, but after he murdered her, he cut his mother's head off. He says, I got scared. I unlocked the door. I went running from my father. When I got to the top of the stairs and I'm running down, my father took my mother's head and threw it at him, hit him in the back, knocked him down the stairs. He was unconscious. When Big Mark woke up, he was laying on his mother's head. He said, that's Big Mark. That's the boy who's out there right now that called you that name. She didn't say another word. She went back home. About 20 minutes later, she showed back up in the preacher's office. He was kind of worried because he thought 20 minutes wasn't long enough for her to think about it. And he didn't know what he was going to hear from her when she got back. But he says, well, what'd you decide? And she said, well, I guess I'm just going to have to get used to getting cussed at. And he said, our ministry started right then, right there. Brother, listen, you cannot help people. You cannot get people to where they need to be unless you can love them where they are at right now. But you want everybody to be just like you. You want everybody to act just like you. Friend, you're not going to help people unless you love them where they are right now, just like they are right now. That's when you can start making a difference in their life, friend. Listen, the reason why we don't want to forgive is because we don't have any love of God in our heart. Number three, what does compassion do? Not only does it turn hurt into forgiveness and bitterness into love, but compassion puts life into ministry. The Bible tells us about Jesus in Matthew chapter number 9. We won't take time to turn there, but the Bible says, as he looked out and saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. Listen, friend, without compassion, multitudes are just multitudes. Crowds are just crowds. People are just people. They're like men as trees walking. But when you fall in love with them and you get to know God, all of a sudden you see them as souls. You see them as living, never dying souls that are on their way to hell, and somebody has got to go and stand between the living and the dead for them, and somebody's got to reach out with some love and tell them about Jesus. That's what compassion does. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. It puts life into ministry. There was a man, he was going to start a missionary work on one of the Hawaiian Islands back in the 1800s. In this particular Hawaiian island was a leper colony. All that was on that island were lepers. And when he got there, he tried to reach these people. He built a little mission. And as hard as he tried, they wouldn't give him the time of day. They didn't come to any services. They wouldn't help him. They wouldn't get involved. And he said, I just don't understand why I cannot reach these people. And he tried and tried and tried for several years. He tried to no avail. And finally he said, I'm giving up. That's it. I'm not going to reach these people. They don't want me to reach them. And he goes to board the ship to go back home to England. And while he's standing there on the dock waiting to leave, boy, he's wringing his hands and he's just thinking about what a fruitful ministry he had had. And what a waste of time it had been. And as he's sitting there wringing his hands, thinking about it, thinking about how bitter he is and how much he's just so disappointed, he looks down at his hands and he notices that there's some white spots. And he notices that he can feel some numbness. And right away he realized that during his time in that leper colony, he had contracted leprosy. Right then and there, that missionary knew what he had to do. He knew he had to go back. And he knew he had to witness to those people again. And whenever he got back, word quickly spread that missionary had leprosy. And to his amazement, all of a sudden, man, people started coming by the hundreds to his house to see if there was anything they could do. Why? Because they understood what he was going through. They understood the hurt. They understood the pain. They understood the uncertainty that must have been going on in his mind. And the biggest surprise of all was the next Sunday when he got up behind the pulpit, there were hundreds of people standing room only in that place. What made the difference? Now he was one of them. He understood where they were at. He understood what was going on in their life. Friend, compassion puts life into ministry. One preacher once said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. There's a man that first time I went to visit him, he was with a friend, and he has lung cancer. And I went by his house to pray with him. And when I got there, he had a friend that was there beside him. They were working on a car. And I tell you, when I got there, that friend of his, brother, he didn't do nothing but cuss me a blue streak. Now listen, I don't get intimidated by people that try to cuss me out. It doesn't bother me, okay? But I was there to see the man with the lung cancer, so I was going to do my job. I was going to pray with him. I was going to help him because he needed help. And this guy, he just kept on. I mean, cussing, saying every filthy thing in the book he could think of because he's trying to warp me off. Now listen, on that particular day, I would have had no chance of reaching that man. But you know what I've done? His friend, he sees me all the time going back and visiting that man with the lung cancer. There's a lady that lives just down the street from him in a trailer, widow lady, old lady. We bring her to church every Sunday. Our people are by there every week visiting her. She's very poor. We take her food. We try to help her however we can. You know what that has done? That has changed the mind of that guy that cussed me out. You know what he does every time I come driving up the driveway now? Whatever he's working on, he drops it and he comes and talks to me. Now, he's still an ornery, cantankerous old cuss. But he don't cuss me out anymore. And he listens to me. And brother, anything I need, he wants to help me with it. Why? Because he sees that I'm not just some guy in a suit and tie. He sees that I love people. And he sees that I'm making a difference in people's lives that he cares about. Friend, compassion puts life into ministry. Amen? Number four, and we're done. Not only does compassion put life into ministry, turn hurt into forgiveness and bitterness into love, but last of all, compassion puts action into intentions. Compassion puts action into intentions. There's a story, we won't read it for sake of time, but in Luke chapter number 7, the Bible talks about a funeral procession that was going on in a little town called Nan. And this little lady had lost her son, and they were grieving over that. And here they are, they're carrying a casket. And the funeral procession is behind them. And Jesus sees how much they are grieving. And the Bible says that Jesus went by and He put His hands upon that casket. And He raised that boy up. You know what made the difference? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 7 about this story. The Bible says that when He saw what was going on, He had compassion. He had compassion. Friend, you know what? I don't see any other reason or any other business that Jesus had to do in Nan. I don't see any other reason for Him to be there. The reason He was there was for one purpose, and it was to help that one lady that was grieving about her son. Now, friend, listen, compassion puts action into intentions. And brother, listen, we're full of good intentions, but good intentions don't get anybody anywhere. Okay? You know what takes us from having a desire to go soul winning to actually going out and doing it? Love. You know what takes us from wanting to be right with somebody to actually taking the step and getting right with somebody? Love. You know what takes you past your pride and walks up to your husband or your wife or your child and says, I'm sorry? Love. It makes a difference. Love puts compassion. Compassion puts action into intentions. And brother, listen, the secret to reaching people and helping people is seeing from the right perspective. You know why Jesus does all the things He does for us? Jesus has one thing that motivates Him. You know what it is? Love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, the reason why Jesus died was because He loved you. The reason why He wants to save you is because He loves you. The reason why He wants to help you get out of sin is because He loves you. The reason why He listens to your prayers and is willing to answer your prayers is because He loves you. Love is a motivator. And love puts action into intentions. I want us all to stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Has there ever been a time and place when you trusted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Friend, understand me this morning. God loves you more than you can ever even comprehend. You said, Brother Andy, I'm saved and I know it. Here's my hands of testimony to that. I'm saved on my way to heaven. Just raise your hand up good and high as a testimony to the Lord this morning. Amen. You can put them down. You said, Brother Randy, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know where I'd go if I died. But I believe that Jesus loves me. I believe that He died on the cross and that He would save me if I'd receive Him today. Brother Randy, please pray for me. I believe that God loves me and that God would save me today. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Just slip it right up, right back down. Let me say a word of prayer for you. I won't call you out. Won't point you out, but I would like to pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't know for sure that I'm saved. Listen, friend, the Bible says that compassion is what makes the difference. And if I could get anybody to get any one thing out of this message and this revival is this. God, help me to see people the way that You see people. And help me to see them not as trees walking. Change my perspective. Give me some love of God in my heart. And brother, you know what that will do to a church? That will completely transform a church. That'll transform a Sunday school class. That'll transform a youth department. When we put love, when we put compassion back into ministry. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You bless this invitation. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to find peace at the altar. And Lord, help us to make some decisions today. Lord, I pray that You'd bless in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, won't you slip out of your seat right now and come down to this altar and say, God, help me. Lord, just change my perspective. Help me to see men more clearly. As they play right now, won't you slip out. Won't you slip out and take some time to do business with God.